missions to Mars, driverless cars, AI chatbots, feels like we're already living in the future. Well, Robinhood is built for the future of trading. Robinhood's intuitive design makes trading seamless. Spot opportunities and take control of your trades with tools like screeners, simulated returns, and strategy builder. On Robinhood, traders have access to hundreds of popular stocks and ETFs 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, so you can keep up with today's fast-paced markets. You can now even trade stocks and crypto all in one place with the new desktop platform, Robinhood Legend. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC is a registered broker-dealer. Trading during extended hours involves additional risks. Cryptocurrency services are offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC, NMLS ID 1702840. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my heavens!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown!
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Top of the morning to you, lads and laddies. Good morning and welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the morning. That was a pretty bad Irish brogue impersonation.
George Kurtz,
what do you think?
I'm offended.
Are you?
As an Irishman, I'm offended. Now I'm going to have to drink another beer.
Yeah, it's like there was a clip from The Simpsons, and Homer said, you know, it's 6 hours into St. Paddy's Day, and I'm not even drunk yet, you know. So how many hours is it into, we're 8 hours into St. Paddy's Day, and I'm not even drunk yet. I haven't even had a hot toddy or anything. How you doing today, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you, lad. So lad is the male.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Joseph.
Yeah. And Laddie is the female, right?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't born.
Come on.
Sure. I got to know the rules of this. Give me a potato.
Why
I'm
not?
A happy guy.
Hey, so what's your leprechaun name?
Are you kidding me?
There was a post on Facebook.
This is a thing, too?
No. It's tongue in cheek. Somebody posted it on Facebook.
Okay.
And what you do is you take the first letter of your name and the month that you were born. So what month were you born in?
Some Gorgust.
August?
Yeah.
Gorgust or August? Okay. So George is the first letter of your name, Grouchy. So we're going to call you Grouchy O'Wacky.
Grouchy O'Wacky. Yeah, that makes scientific sense. Let's go with that.
Yeah. All right. And for me, J is assigned to Jolly, and I'm born in May, so I'm Jolly McWiggles. I like that. Jolly McWiggles.
Jolly McWiggles. Grouchy O'Wacky.
And Sean, let's see. Sean S is, according to this, Silly, and he told me off air that he was born in August, so he's Silly O'Wacky. So we got Grouchy O'Wacky, Silly O'Wacky, and Jolly McWiggles. Good morning to you.
Great. Anybody else want to know your leprechaun name, just feel free to call on in here, and Sean Engel will give you your leprechaun name.
With help from me, lad, so, Jorgelina.
There you go.
Lucky charms.
Exactly. Have you had your lucky charms so far? Because you said
that. I think it's been a few decades since I've had lucky charms, but I did like them. I'm a Cocoa Puffs guy now. Give me a box of Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, the Lucky Charms is good. I mean, let's see, top cereal is what? For me, Cocoa Pebbles, that Flintstone brand. I love when the milk turns chocolatey. And Captain Crunch is always a good one, too. So, hey, been a big weekend of fantasy baseball drafts, George, NFBC championships this weekend. We had Tout Wars still going on, the NFBC draft still going on. So big-time stuff happening in baseball. Yesterday, we were filling in on Fantasy Sports Today, and we were just breaking down division by division and teams, individual teams and divisions, breaking down the fantasy-relevant players, the over-under win totals and whatnot. But we'll continue that today. We left off where we're going to start with the AL West, and we'll try to get into the NL East, get as far into it as possible. Maybe we'll, at some point this morning we'll discuss some of the new rule changes that are being implemented, and some for baseball, and some that are expected to be adopted in 2020 as well. It was a big week in football in terms of lots of movement, lots of trades, free agent signings and whatnot. So I think we should just at least just, you know, touch upon them. But I kind of, you know, talked about this a little bit yesterday, but just, you know, I'm a big fantasy baseball and fantasy football guy, but you know, when you look at the attention that football has had this past week, you know, the baseball people, you know, have to take note, and I would say be a little concerned. I mean, like I was saying yesterday, I mean, we've had huge names, you know, move, like, you know, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, OBJ. So that adds to, you know, the coverage that football's been getting. But, you know, when you look at the hot stove, you know, one of my favorite times of year in baseball is not only just watching the games throughout the year and following, you know, the pennant chases and the individual stats all year long, but, you know, I love December, the GM meetings that they have, because there's always seems to be, in the past, there were lots of movement in terms of trades and whatnot, but that's kind of slowed down the past couple of years. So this whole frenzy time in football with, you know, trades being announced and free agent signings, it's really continued to keep football relevant all year long.
Well, football's been like that for a long time now. Baseball with GM meetings haven't really meant much in, you said, a few years. I might go a few decades when that's really slowed down.
Yeah, nice.
They'll
I
talk
seem to
trades.
Remember. Yeah,
you'll hear rumors, yeah, but you're not going to hear. You're not going to see movement. And the day of baseball has gone really complete opposite direction now, where even in November we're not seeing these deals we used to see as far as free agent signings. Where football, I mean, football's a joke, right? I mean, you have the legal tampering period, which doesn't make it's an oxymoron in itself. Legal tampering doesn't make any sense. You might as well start free agency on that Monday then. Why wait till Wednesday at 4 to announce these deals when they're all done by then? You know, Le'Veon Bell was really the only big deal that didn't get done by Wednesday at 4. So, you know, football, they get a lot more headlines because of that. With baseball, these free agency deals seem to drag on. See, the football owners, they'll offer the most money right away. Baseball, the agents have to coax it out of them for weeks, or in this case, for Bryce Harper and Machado, months before these deals finally get done. I know a lot of people, as far as baseball are concerned, have proposed there should be a rule that, I don't see how this you could ever do this, but that all free agents need to be signed by, you know, January 15th, so we get all these deals done, and there is a time period. That could never work, because what if what if a guy gets hurt? You know, this doesn't make any sense there. But the past couple of years, the free agent signings in baseball have slowed down. It's taking forever. We still have it now. Craig Kimbrel, unsigned. Dallas Keuchel, unsigned. Gio Gonzalez, unsigned. You know, all these guys should have jobs, but they're unsigned. And, you know, with football, you never see that. Not the top name players. Most of them are gone already. You know, free agency just started Wednesday at 4, technically. You know, so it's been on for, what, 4 days?
Right.
5 days. And these guys are all gone. Baseball, you'll have months upon months upon months, and guys still available.
Yeah, the deals were pretty much in place. They just had to be made official once the NFL's year officially began, right?
Legal tampering. Yeah, a lot of these deals, we knew exactly what was going to happen. Trades were made a month ago, 6 weeks ago. We knew they were happening. They just couldn't truly be official until Wednesday at 4.
So, yeah, so baseball is, I think, cognizant of what's going on, and the MLB and Players Association and the MLB came to a bid collective bargaining agreement this week. So it's good that the two sides are talking. They initiated for this season a single trade deadline of July 31st. No more waiver wire deals. In the past, you know, if a player was put on waivers and no one a laid claim to him, they were able to make trades. Like, you know, one of the ones that I remember because I'm a Yankee fan is that's how we got David Cone back in the 90s, right? But no more of that kind of stuff. And what they're hoping for is that that will force some teams or coax some teams into, you know, making trades in the offseason for a busier offseason.
Well, that won't happen. That doesn't make any sense. How is a trade deadline of July 31st instead of August 31st going to make people sign, make trades in the offseason? That makes no sense at all. So that won't happen. What they really hope was the union doesn't want their players moved late. You know, they don't want also teams to make late trades and also sort of determine pennant races with the guys who you got only, you know, with a month left in the season. I sort of get it. My only problem is this. I think it'll have unintended consequences, and they won't be good. Because what if you have a rash of injuries in August? Especially a catcher. Now you can't come out getting one. You know, so I think that's going to be a problem there. I probably would have split the difference here. If you only want to have one trade deadline, fine. Then why not make it mid-August? August 15th. Sort of like we do in fantasy leagues. A lot of fantasy leagues have their trade deadlines in mid-August. I think I would have done that. Not that 2 weeks is truly going to make a big difference either. But I don't think this is should have been as big a thing as they made it say. But you wanted it. The union really wanted this, and I guess their players don't want to be moved late in the season as well and get taken off of playoff team, that sort of thing there. It's more of a player comfort thing, but I think it will have unintended consequences.
Yeah, and I know you're not into the All-Star game and whatnot, but All-Star game election day, what will you be doing for All-Star game election day?
Who the hell cares? I don't get this at all. I mean, really, this is what we're doing now? And they're doing anything they can to try and build up this All-Star game. And really, and just no one cares. You're not going to be able to make the game like it used to be in the 60s and 70s and even 80s, where we really did care, because you didn't see the players on the other teams. You know, you didn't see the stars of the Cincinnati Reds or Los Angeles Dodgers, because there was no, you know, you weren't playing interleague play. Now we do, and it's just not as important. And they try to make this game all, you know, if the All-Star game meant something, it should be like it was back in the day, where the stars played the entire game, where Mike Trout might hit a game-winning home run in the ninth inning. Nowadays, these guys have gone to 3-4 innings. They're gone. The stars are gone. And you get the secondary players. If it's an All-Star game, then guess what? Every team can't be represented. Because not every team has an All-Star. Some teams are terrible. And they don't have anybody who deserves to be there, but every team has to be represented. Well, that's not an All-Star game. You know, it's just something else. It's more of an exhibition game. Which is fine. You know, it's fine in itself. Fine, do what you want to do. But if they could get me to care about it, no, I'm not. You know, I don't mind the home run derby, but I only watch the home run derby if I record it. I can't watch it live. It takes too long. Thanks for it. Right. I know they've fixed it up a little bit here. But even that, even with the $1 million, what they're going to pay the winner now, $1 million, Aaron Judge has already said he won't go. So you're not getting the best hitters in that either. Yeah, so it's hard for me to like any of these things.
You're listening to the verbiage of Grouchy Wacky. And, you know, I don't care.
Actually, I'm going to live up to that name now.
Yeah. I don't care. Grouchy Wacky. So for 2020, three batter minimum for pitchers. What do you think about this one?
This is interesting, although once again, I'd have probably gone, I don't think I get it where you want to make it more than one. Listen, the one thing didn't bother me. It didn't bother me at all. And it's only a three batter minimum, by the way, if it's in the inning. If the inning ends, then you're fine. So you're still going to get some one batter. You know, there's two outs, lefty. Yeah, they'll bring him on if he gets him out. Inning's over, great, he's out of the game. If he gets on base, well, then you got some issues there. It didn't bother me. I don't know why you had to go to three. Wouldn't two solve the same problem? Yeah, once again, you got to pitch to an extra batter, so I would have made it two. But I'm not somebody who felt this needed to be done. You know, once again, it did not bother me. a guy pitching to one batter. I understand you'll speed the game. You won't really speed the game up, but it makes it more strategic. And now maybe you won't get as many pitching changes. Maybe you get rid of jobs. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why I don't like it. You know, certain guys are not going to have a job anymore because, hey, they can't get a righty out to save their life. So they're not going to be brought in. So I don't know. Not a fan. I don't dislike it. I don't hate it. I just think I think it was unnecessary.
There are already rumors of how teams might get around this. Where let's say a pitcher might pitch to two batters and then maybe feign an injury or whatnot. So it's already been talk about how they could get around that. But hey, just basically for next year roster expansion from 25 to 26 players in the regular season, and then in September rosters only expand to 28 instead of 40 as currently designed.
I think, once again, I would have tweaked this as well. I would have kept it at 40, but you can only declare 28 available to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like they do in football. There'd be, 12. Nobody calls up all 40 anyway. You know, that's never happened. It's been done, once again, in decades. It costs too much money for these teams to do that. So, but they do call up 31, 32 players. I would have had you to declare 28 that could start. You know, just to make the game fair, you don't have 18 relievers. That also slows down the game because you have all these relievers, one after another. You could play this game all day long here. So I would have done it that way, but I do like this, to make it at least, once again, fair, because the richer teams will call up more players than the poorer teams will. And that's unfair to have one team has a 34-man roster, the other team has 27. So at least now they both have 28. But I think it's also a little unfair now to all these young players. There won't be as many cup of coffee guys called up because it's only a 28-man roster, so you're not going to call up 34. You're only going to call up three extra guys here. So I would have liked to have kept it as a maximum of 40, but each game you had to declare only 28 starters.
Well, it's good that the two sides are talking, the players in Major League Baseball. The current collective bargaining agreement doesn't expire till December of 2021. So it's good that these two sides are being proactive. You and I kind of alluded to worries about work stoppage, so it's good that the two sides are talking. When we come back, we'll start breaking down the AL West over-under win totals. Fantasy relevant players, you're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, little Dire Straits, Walk of Life, bringing us back in. What was your name there, Georgia? Grouchy McWiggles?
No, you were McWiggles. I was...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm Jolly
Wacky?
McWiggles. Yeah.
Something like that.
Grouchy or Wacky. Weird. On this happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you. right.
Once again, feel free to call in. Sean Engel will give your leprechaun name. Sean has nothing else to do this morning. He'd love to go searching up your leprechaun name.
What are you doing later? To any corned beef and cabbage for you today?
I am. I know my last name is Kurtz, but I actually am three-quarters Irish. My mom was full Irish, and my father was half. If people are wondering how that works out, there you go. All right, so no, I'm not really a corned beef and cabbage guy. Today's not going to be a very good St. Patrick's Day. I do have to go to a wake after, and so that's
sorry to hear that.
Immediately after, goaltender from a lot of the hockey teams I played on, a good friend of mine, and not a good friend. I shouldn't say a good friend, but a friend of mine. But it was a goaltender on a lot of the hockey teams passed away last weekend. So unexpectedly, to say the least. So I'll attend his wake later today. And then my mom happens to live pretty close to the funeral home. So I'm going to drop the kids off there first, go to the wake of my wife, and then we'll go back. And I guess I should pick up my kids, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe see a little mom too while I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be that kind of guy. Know,
with the name like Grouchy or Wacky, I don't know what you would do today.
I might be taking a visit to your house afterwards.
Yeah, like those leprechaun movies, right? You'd be one of those evil leprechauns.
Damn right. Where's my pot of gold, man? Don't take my pot of gold. That's my plans for today.
Yeah, we always would have because my wife is half Irish and half Italian, so. When her father was alive, we'd go there every year to his, to their house and have some corned beef and cabbage. I'm not a big corned beef kind of guy. Put enough mustard on it, and it's good. And then I guess if you have enough alcoholic beverages,
anything's good.
To supplement.
I'll give you a wood bark if you have enough alcoholic beverages.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like being at a bar and, enough drinks and any member of the opposite sex looks better to you.
Looks good.
Yeah,
3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, they all look great.
Yes, yes. Many songs written about that.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I was at a party last night and, my friend got obliterated, to put it nicely. And he's the kind of guy who's a ham anyway. Oh, he's looking to test everybody and be the center of attention. He's just going off. It was funny stuff, but he's just going off last night. And like I said, it's always intriguing with people like that. You need people like that, though, because they liven things up.
Absolutely,
you never really know what they're going to do.
As long as they don't hurt anybody, then don't hurt themselves.
No. Just makes myself look like an ass. But it's funny.
And you're announcing it on the radio. But you're not giving out his name, which is good.
Tom.
Great. Hey, so we had a free agent signing, a minor one. Cargo is no longer a free agent. Carlos Gonzalez, former outfielder for the Rockies, signs a minor league deal with the Indians. We spoke about the Indians yesterday morning when we were filling in on Fantasy Sports Today, their weak outfield. So Cargo signs a minor league deal. Yeah, if anything, it'd probably be maybe in a platoon. I would think his days of as a big time fantasy contributor are behind him. Early in his career, had a lot of talent. Basically a 5-2 player, but injuries always got in the way with Carlos Gonzalez. So now Carlos Gonzalez, Hanley Ramirez. This is a wacky offensive team in the George.
You mentioned, they brought in some old time vets. I think Gonzalez makes sense. I do think Gonzalez makes sense here, as their outfield is questionable, to put it nicely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think Gonzalez, I think you're right, he'll be in some kind of timeshare. He'll get the better end of that timeshare, being the left-hander, so he'll see more at-bats. But I think it does make sense here. The question is going to be, how long does it take him to get up to par here? Spring training is over in 10 days, so he's just starting mid-April. Somewhere around there for him to get enough at-bats here. He'll be in extended spring training, I'm sure. And then he'll, depending on what's going on with the team, he'll make the team. I think it's the way it'll be there. I don't think he's going to have to worry about playing in the minor leagues. You look at their outfield right now. All right, we like Greg Allen, right? We think he'll be a solid player. Stolen bases as far as fantasy leagues are concerned here. Leonis Martin, okay. Once again, okay. We don't know really what to expect from him, but it could be a solid player. And then Cargo would seem to fit in as that right fielder. I don't think Tyler Naquin is going to keep him out. The bigger question would be, what happens when Bradley Zimmer gets healthy?
Yeah, I was going to mention
who's
him.
Who's going to lose out there? So I think that's really when it becomes interesting. If Cargo's not hitting, could be him. If Greg Allen's not hitting, could be him. If Martin's not hitting, could be him. Zimmer can play any of these spots. So that's what I'm really looking if I'm looking ahead, that's what I'm thinking here. What happens when Zimmer returns here? What's going to go on? Whose job might he take? I don't think Zimmer's back now until May or June at the earliest here, so we got a while. An injury could easily pop up and sort of makes this whole conversation moot anyway. But fantasy-wise, Cargo, not in a 12-team league. In the only league, of course, everybody has value. 15-team league, I could see you taking him late or as a reserve here, but a 12-team league, I don't have much interest.
Yeah, last season, 463 at-bats, 16 home runs, 5 stolen bases, 276 batting average. So, you know, moderate contributions, and I think you're right that he'll, you know, we both kind of agree that if at best he'd be in a platoon situation there. And if you look against right-handed hitters last year, batted 284 versus lefties 259. Slugging was some 60 points higher against right-handed pitching last year as well. So one of the Yankees' top prospects, Esteban Florial, suffered a wrist fracture. So he wasn't going to be making the team anyway, but it's just something to be conscious of. Also, do not tick off Philadelphia Phillies fans, huh? I mean, we saw that Bryce Harper got plunked with a 96-mile-per-hour, I guess it was a fastball, that hit his ankle. And supposedly it's a contusion. He's going to be day-to-day. But Philadelphia Phillies fans are sending death threats to pitcher Trent Thornton for injuring their $330 million man.
And that's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous for people to go off the deep end like this and send this guy death threats. Yeah, I understand you're annoyed, but he got hit in the foot, the ankle. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, a couple of inches off the ground. He wasn't throwing at him. It wasn't at his head. Didn't mean to hit him. It's silly. It's just completely silly that they throw, they're giving him death threats for this. Harper, luckily, is okay. You know, we discussed it on the show yesterday. All tests have come back negative. The biggest worry here is that I don't know if he's going to get enough at-bats to really truly be a threat week one, week two of the season here. He doesn't have a hit yet in spring training. Obviously, he signed late. We all know that. And he's got maybe 10 more games here. Maybe. Mm-hmm. That's why I would expect the Phillies to bat him first now in most spring training games. Get him as many ABs as possible here. But I think he's going to have a tough time truly. I think he'll play opening day, don't get me wrong. But to say he's actually ready, most players believe you need about 60 at-bats. He's not going to reach it. He's just not going to reach that. So I would have some concerns there. It won't affect me when I'm drafting him. Once he's talking a couple of games here over his 162-game season, not worried about that at all. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't shock me if he's one of these slow start guys, which for Harper, usually he's not.
Mm-hmm. And with the type of fan base, how much patience do you think the Philly fans are going to have with him? You know, let's say if we're a month and a half into the season and he's slumping, because last year he slumped for a big chunk of the early part of last season. If he's batting, let's say it's, May 15th and he's batting 180 and has two home runs, do you think he starts to hear the boo birds?
Oh, I don't think it'll take that long. I mean, the Philadelphia fans can be brutal. Yeah. This is why I was surprised. I'm not surprised he signed there, but I'm surprised he didn't give himself an out. You know, why he didn't want that in there, just in case. Just in case. It's brutal. You're not playing well. Or maybe even if the team's not playing well and you're not hitting 60 home runs, they're going to take it out of you. You make it $330 million.
Yes.
You know, so I was surprised he didn't negotiate an out there after 3 years of, hey, let me get the hell out of here. We're not winning. They're all over me. Let me get out. Very surprised he didn't do that. You know, instead he's there for the long haul, which is, hey, you're showing faith, you know, and I hope it works out for you. Hell, they're in the National League. You're not going to bother the Yankees, so, hey, work out for you. But I was surprised here. Phillies, we know the fans here, all right? The rep is the rep, and it's well-deserved. They are rough. They can be tough. This is Yankee fans. They started booing Giancarlo Stanton. He had two home runs opening day, comes home, goes over four with whatever, 3-4 strikeouts. They're booing him already. And Philly fans will be just the same here. You know, so they'll expect to win. They're paying you $330 million. They want to win. And they pretty much want you to win every game. You know, so like I said, I was just really surprised, Joe. I mean, really surprised he didn't give himself an out.
I agree with you. All right, so let's start breaking down the AL West. Take a look at the specific teams, their over-unders, any fantasy-relevant players that you might be considering drafting. Over the next week, 2 weeks, big-time fantasy baseball draft season. We've got the first two games of the regular season starting March 20th and March 21st, where the Oakland A's take on the Seattle Mariners in Japan. So good stuff happening there. And opening day, I believe it's the earliest opening day ever, March 28th, but coming up quickly. So the Astros finished in first place in the AL West, beat the Athletics by 6 games last season, 103 wins, 59 losses. They're over under total 6.5, George. So let's take a look around the diamond for them. It looks like Tyler White is going to be getting some regular playing time for the season's entirety. Looks like he's going to be splitting time first base and also be a DH. You know, I had seen this guy play before, but I saw parts of some Astros exhibition games. He's a big man.
He is a big man. He is a big man.
And he got bigger.
I don't know. Yeah, he did get bigger. And I am interested in Tyler White somewhat. Once again, I'm not always going to point out that I'm interested in an only league. You're interested in everybody in an only league. All right. So, but in a 12-team league, once again, he's on the fringe of a 12-team league, more of a 15-team league where I'm looking at Tyler White here. This team should hit. You know, there's not a weak spot in the lineup here. Actually, if you're going to look at the one weak spot, it might be Tyler White. He's probably the one question mark we're looking at here. Now, they've already said he won't be the everyday DH because AJ Hinch, the manager, likes to rotate his DH, which a lot of teams do, to give players a half a day off. You know, give Springer a half day off, whatever it might be here. So he won't be the everyday DH, so he's not going to play every day because, Ulysses Gurriel is going to play at first base. So that's one issue there. How many games can he get in? How many at-bats can he get in? The power's legit. You know, I think if he did play every day, he might hit 30 home runs. But he's not. He won't do that because he's not going to play every day. So
good
he's
OBP
literally
guy
a guy.
Too.
Yeah. He's really a guy for me, Joe. If I play in a daily lineup league where I can switch my lineups in and out, if it's a weekly lineup league, it'll be hard to trust him because I'm going to need an injury for him to get playing time. But in a daily lineup league, I like the fact that I can, you know, he's in my lineup, plug him in.
Yeah, I agree with you. So Jose Altuve, let's move on to him. Last season, batted 316, 13 home runs, 17 stolen bases. Only played 137 games due to a late July knee injury, and then that knee required some off-season surgery. Up until July 29th, his triple slash was 329, 392, and 464. Had an 857 OPS up to that point. After he came back from the injury, August 21st and on, that 329 batting average turned to 276. Still had some good OBP, but lost about 50 points off his slugging percentage and about 70 points over off his OPS. So I guess the issue with him, and now he's had a recent concern where he was shut down for a few days due to left side soreness. He's back in the lineup now, but you got to think. You know, I know he had off season surgery with the knee. One of his big calling points was the fact that he's able to steal bases. You're worried now if he's going to be able to steal bases as much as he had in the past, or if he's going to be favoring, that knee.
Agreed. That is the worry. All right, that's a huge part of the worry here. Do the Astros just say, hey, we're going to win 1,000 games with whether you're stealing bases or not? We all know in today's game, most teams don't view stolen bases as all that important. There may be situations where they want him to run, but it also may be, you know what, don't run unless we have to. You know, don't steal second just for the sake of stealing second. We want to keep you healthy. So I do worry about that. You know, that maybe they're going to calm him down. Where he was averaging pretty much 30, 35 stolen bases the past 3 years before last season, maybe the number's cut in half. Stole 17 last year. Maybe that's what it is again this year over a full season because they don't want him to run anymore. I worry about the same thing about Francisco Lindor. You know, once again, they don't want him to run. There's no reason for it. There's the risk outweighs the reward here. So why run? That's why I'm not drafting Lindor because a big part of Lindor's and Altuve's value are those stolen bases. And if they're not going to steal, well, then they're not really first-round picks anymore. And I don't think Altuve is. I'll take Altuve in the second round. I won't take him in the first round. Then do I feel the same way here? So I am worried about that, Joe, that he's not going to steal as many bases. I think he'll hit fine. You know, I do. If the hip, knee's bothering him, side's bothering him, maybe he doesn't leg out a couple of infield hits, but that won't be anything dramatic. I'm not truly worried about that overall. But the stolen bases, I am. I wonder if that does come down 25-30%. Of what he's used to, and like I said, that's a part of his value that I'm drafting that I'm not going to get now.
Yeah, I seem to remember maybe even as recently as last year, he was like maybe his ADP was somewhere around like maybe 5 or 7. Right now, according to NFBC ADP, it's 15. Am I right? Wasn't he like a 5 to 7 kind of ADP kind of guy? Maybe even a little bit high, like last year?
He may have been better than that, too. I mean, he really reminded me. You look at his numbers. He was always stealing 30-plus bases, hitting 25 home runs, and batting 3-4.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was a while there. When you look at his stats,
right, where's this power come from? That's what everybody was
well, he's a freak. Just like Aaron Judge is a freak for his size, so is Altuve. He is a freak because he's so small and yet can do the damage he does. He's 5'5". Mm-hmm. I'm taller than he is. All right, mm-hmm. That's amazing that I'm taller than he is. Only weighs 148 pounds. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. He'll be 29, actually, in a couple of weeks. Well, 6 weeks. So happy birthday, Helsley. Happy earlier birthday. I'm sure he's been waiting for me to wish my birthday. Happy birthday. But it's amazing what he can do. But I also wonder, Joe, just like Dustin Pedroia, sooner or later, you know, these injuries add up, and at his size, it's hard for him to get by him.
Yeah, that's what's scary. You know, once these injuries come, they start to magnify and whatnot. But when we come back, we'll continue breaking down the Houston Astros, talk about Carlos Correa and what we can expect from him in 2019. You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning. Joe Greena along with George Kurtz, Sean Engel. Actually, I should call George Kurtz Grouchy O'Wacky. That's his leprechaun name. And my leprechaun name is
Grouchy O'Wacky.
Jolly McWiggles. It's just an unofficial chart that somebody posted on Facebook. We take the first letter of your name and the month that you were born, and they combine some wacky names. And Sean Engel is Silly O'Wacky. And Carlos Correa, what's his leprechaun name? So he'd be, let's see, he's born in September, so he's Cheerful McBlarney.
Cheerful McBlarney. It's very scientific. So glad we decided to go down this road here with all these players. God.
So, Carlos Correa, when he first hit the scene, man, a lot was expected of him based on his production. You look at the first 387 at-bats in 2015, 22 home runs, 14 stolen bases. He was highly sought after in next year's drafts. And unfortunately, has been hit with the injury bug. Been dealing with back injuries. Back injuries are no joke. I mean, over the last two seasons, he's played just 109 and 110 games while missing time for hand, thumb, toe, side. And like I mentioned, back injuries. Also had off-season thumb surgeries. So, first of all, I mean, I guess when you think about it, I mean, could this guy, George, be a draft day bargain based on recency bias about his recent injuries? Right now, according to NFBC, he is 49. Supposedly, he's completely healthy at this stage. But you think he could be a bargain this year?
Well, what's the most important ability in really professional sports? Availability. All right? You know, what's the old saying? Can't help the club in the tub, that sort of thing. We need him to play. We need him to play. Listen, I think the man has talent. I think he could he win you a league? Yeah, I could see that. You know, getting him in round 5, round 6, maybe leaving a little later. and he can play 150 games, he's going to put up big-time numbers. I can see that. Mm-hmm. But his history tells us that's not going to happen. There's going to be an injury. When you have back problems, you know, they tend not to go away. You know, you don't get enough rest. You know, 3-4 months you have off, there's not enough rest. You're pounding on it over and over again by playing in the field. Shortstop also, rough position. You know, shortstop center field, a lot of action out there. You're always moving. I don't think you can take anything off here. I do wonder, will they try and manage him somewhat? You know, and I'll give him a day off every 10 games, something like that. Now, there's no Marvin Gonzalez there anymore, no super utility guy, so that's probably good for him because they don't have somebody who's readily made to play everywhere and can give you that automatic day off. So I think that, you know, fantasy owners looking at that, that's actually a good thing. Shortstop's a loaded position. There are a lot of good shortstops that are available. Maybe not superstars, but good shortstops you can take there, especially when you consider Bregman and Machado qualify at shortstop in most leagues, so you can throw them in there as well. So you don't need to reach for him. You know, you can draft him right around the time, same time you're drafting Xander Bogaerts, but before Corey Seager, who has his own injury problems, and there are several other shortstops you can grab in there as well. So I don't feel the need to reach for him, Joe, but I'm not shying away either. And so I think I'm banking on the fact that this will be the year. Give me 140 games. I'm not even asking for 150, 155. You know, really, no one plays 162 anymore. Everyone's going to get their time. Most managers believe in that. But give me 140, and I would be a really happy guy.
Yeah. The one thing, I'm thinking that he's not going to be running as much as he has in the past. Hasn't been doing that either. And maybe, you know, the Astros will limit that as well in terms of trying to keep him healthy and on the field. And when you look at his ADP, let's see, shortstops, according to NFBC, that you could get after him. Like I said, mentioned Carlos Correa, 49 ADP. Gleyber Torres, 62 ADP. And according to NFBC, eligible at second and short. So there you go. Gene Segura at ADP 64, the Phillies shortstop. Corey Seager's an interesting guy that he's coming off of an injury. What do you think about Corey Seager this year? ADP of 85. We'll get right back to the Astros. But since we're talking shortstops, how do you feel about drafting Corey Seager this season?
Wary. Definitely wary of Corey Seager. Any budget, 85 puts him in the round 9, so that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll take him in round 9 if I waited on a shortstop, and I'll be very happy with that. He's coming up to Tommy John surgery. His spring training also got delayed because he had an illness. He's playing in B games now. Now, the reason why you play in B games is so they can backdate the DL if they have to. If you were to play in a major league game right now, then the earliest you can put him on a DL is from 317. So that's why they do the B game things, for anybody who's wondering. And also, a little help. And if you see a starting pitcher who all of a sudden is pitching in a B game, don't think he's injured. We're at the point now in spring training where, you know, Jacob DeGrom was facing the Nationals today. Guess what? He's not going to face the Nationals today. They'll pitch him in a B game because they're playing the Nationals the first week of the season. So if the other teams that are doing that, they'll move their starting pitcher away. So don't get frightened if all of a sudden you hear your starting pitcher's in a B game. It's not an injury. It's just gamesmanship. So the team you're playing in a couple of weeks and the games that count, don't get to see that player. You're going to see that happen a lot. As far as Seager's concerned, like I said, coming off Tommy John surgery, he's still behind a little bit, although the Dodgers are optimistic he'll be ready for opening day. I think he'll probably get up to a slow start. I think he'll eventually come on there. Remember, L.A., not a great hitter's park. He is a good hitter, but it's not a great hitter's park there where you feel you need to go out and grab him because he's going to hit 30, 35 home runs, driving 100 runs and all that. He's probably not. You know, there's a reason he's behind all these other guys. You know, I would take Bogaerts ahead of him. I would certainly take Correa ahead of him. I would take Torres ahead of him pretty easily. You know, I think he's a guy who, you know, Joe, when we talk about this next year at this time, he may be up a couple of rungs. You know, a couple of spots into that Gleyber Torres area. But I think where he's being drafted now, round 9, behind all these other guys, I think is the right spot. Because I do think the month of, I guess we got to say March, but also April is going to be a little bit of a struggle for him to get his timing back, to get used to playing a full season again. Remember, for all intents and purposes, he missed all of last year.
Yes, absolutely did. Yep. All right, so good stuff regarding Seager. Michael Brantley, Alex Bregman, back to the Astros. Love these two guys. Love the addition of Michael Brantley to that outfield. Bregman really had a full breakout season last year. At catcher, you know, we talk about how poor the catcher position is. And, I mean, he's no shining light, but Robinson Chirinos' past two seasons, 263 at-bats, 17 home runs, 360 at-bats, 18 home runs. I know he's going to kind of kill your batting average, but the state of the catcher position, you know, I like the fact that he could hit close to 20 home runs. And you know what? He's probably, you know, going to get the same range of at-bats. So that's a guy to keep in mind. Kyle Tucker, do you think that he's a guy that might be a good stash where he could eventually get called up by the Astros and make his way, fight his way into getting a regular spot in the Astros outfield? I mean, right now you have Michael Brantley in left field, George Springer in center field, not going anywhere, but Reddick in right field. Maybe Kyle Tucker, if he gets called up, could fight for that spot right there.
I'd like to see him play, Tucker. I would, but you just went through the outfield. There's no spot for him right now. That's the issue here. I guess you could say he could be the Tyler White guy and play him there. I think he's ready to play. I do. Mm-hmm. I think this is a bad team. He'd be in the lineup already. The Providence is a good team. You know, and you can make the argument also, well, then they can afford to let him play then. And they could, even if he struggles. And he did struggle at times here. But he has nothing left to prove at AAA. Nothing left to prove in the minor leagues. He's ready to play now, and I wish they'd let him play. Instead, they're not. They're going to wait for an injury. Which, granted, you know, Reddick, he gets hurt. Brantley's his biggest problem is getting hurt, right? Brantley can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. He'd be a very damn good player. So they'll wait for that to happen, and then he'll be their first call-up to replace these guys. So to answer your question, do I think he's a good stash? Absolutely. He's the kind of guy you take late in your draft, you know, and you stash. And if your team gets lucky and you don't suffer out another rash of injuries, you can keep holding on to him. But if you're not lucky, your team like mine, my teams always are, you have suffered a lot of injuries, well, then you got to let him go for a player who is playing right now, who can help you now. Just the way the game is played. I stash guys all the time. If I can afford to, great. You know, I can wait it out. Wait till these guys come back. Wait to see what happens with Tucker, see if he does get back into the lineup. But I'm not so stubborn as to, oh, I draft him, he's staying on my roster forever. No. If I suffer a rash of other injuries where I need the roster spot, then he has to go.
Very good, very good. Let's talk a couple of seconds about the starting pitching staff for the Astros. You got Justin Verlander, who amazingly in his middle 30s has found new life, right? Gerrit Cole, we all saw what he could do next year. I mean, last year. We also know what he could do next year, and we also know the winning lottery numbers for this week, too, right? We can see the future. But Verlander and Cole, obviously, two really good pitchers to have at the top of your staff. Colin McHugh making his way back into the starting rotation. 6 runs in 2 2/3 inning pitches in last spring start. Never really been a good spring training pitcher, but what do you expect out of Colin McHugh this season, George? And are you happy with Verlander and Cole?
Well, I'm certainly happy with Verlander and Cole. Verlander's on a lot of my teams because I'm in my snake drafts, I'm almost always taking a pitcher in the second round. It seems like in all these drafts, my favorite pick seems to be the number eight pick. Always getting number eight. And I've got nothing lower than five. So I'm not getting a chance to get Betts, Trout, or anybody like that, or J. Ram at three. I would take Scherzer at four. That's where I have him. That's how I would approach my drafts as far as the first couple slots. But after that, I'm pretty much going to take the best hitter available. And in round two, I'm looking to take the best pitcher available, which is generally Verlander or Sale come down to me. DeGrom and Scherzer are almost always gone. So it's Verlander, Sale, Nola if I was picking later in the second round. But once again, God forbid I should get a first overall pick or two when that comes up. So Verlander's on a lot of my teams. I think he's going to be great. He's a free agent year too, contract year, so that certainly can't hurt. Cole, I expect just a little bit down from Verlander. That's it. I think he'll be aces as well. You know, so I'm not worried about either one of these two. I would take either one of these two to anchor my team. Although I do consider Verlander a tier one and Cole the top of tier two. You know, I like to tier my players here. So I do think Cole's a little bit of a drop off. Not my major drop off, but a little bit of a drop off here. Once again, it's Houston, great team. Right, we know they're going to win a whole truckload of games here, so you want their starting pitchers. You do. Because that's W's you're going to get there. I think Cole's going to be great.
Yep. What did you think about Colin McHugh coming back to the starting rotation?
I mean, He's being brought back because, once again, they've lost some starters here, right? They lost Keuchel. Well, we think they've lost Keuchel. Maybe he ends up coming back. Maybe he doesn't. McCullers, you know, so someone has to go back in there. You know, and McHugh, mm-hmm. I don't think he's anything great. I think he's really just an average pitcher, you know, and so I think he'll get beat
hopefully
up a little
he'll
bit.
Hopefully he'll be an innings eater, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what they want him to be. Mm-hmm. Can you go six innings a start here? We'll win your starts anyway, sort of like what the Yankees do. You don't need to be great. Mm-hmm. Just keep us in the game. We'll out-hit people. We're a good team. I think that's what they're hoping here. Last year in the bullpen, you know, it was only 72 innings, but he had a 1.99 ERA. That's impressive. My problem with McHugh is that's only going one time through the lineup. I think teams mm-hmm. are going to beat him up the second time through the lineup, third time through the lineup. My other issue is this. You're drafting McHugh. How many innings can you expect him to go this year? You know, 17 right. was 63, 18 was 72. Now, he's 31 years old. They're not going to have an innings limit on him. If he can go, he can go. But he's not throwing 200 innings. That's not going to happen. Right? So I don't know when he hits the wall as far as that's concerned either. I think Houston, throughout the season, will be looking for an upgrade here. Like I said, maybe it's an upgrade now and they do sign Keuchel. McHugh's the one who loses out here. Maybe it's not. We don't really know. But I think that's certainly in play here as well, that they're looking to upgrade here, and McHugh could be the odd man out.
Mm-hmm. Well, any starting pitcher in this rotation has the luxury of having that great offense behind them, supporting them. Wade Miley, another addition this season, pitcher, so 2.57 ERA in 16 starts for the Brewers last season. They also have Framber Valdez. One of their prospects in the wings. Any other just stars that you could think of? I mean, it looks like they might, like you said, might have to go outside of the organization to get some help.
Well, not necessarily, because there is a star waiting to happen here, and that's Forrest Whitley.
Yeah.
You know, they want to bring him up? Yeah, certainly not, he's not going to start the season. They'll do play the same game, and they'll probably get through with Super 2 arbitration dates too. So you're looking at sometime in May. But if these guys struggle, if McHugh, Miley, and Peacock struggle, Whitley is there. And I wonder if Whitley's mm-hmm. that guy. Because with McHugh and Peacock, for that matter, I don't know how many innings these guys can throw before one's going to hit that wall. They can hit the wall by the All-Star break. Whitley could be that addition. And this is an ace waiting to happen here. He's, obviously he won't be an ace this year. He'll struggle somewhat. He's a rookie. Or he'd be a rookie. But this is an ace long-term waiting to happen here. Those of you playing in Keeper and Dynasty League, if you're looking to grab somebody long-term,
absolutely,
he's your guy.
Yes.
He's going to be a fantastic pitcher. And it's not like the Astros are a one-and-done team where they're going to be bad for years to come. They're not. They're still going to be a good team for quite a few years. But Whitley is a guy, in my mind, to look out for. Once again, I'd love to stash him. And I would in a league or two, but I would never expect that he'll remain on my team. Because I think by the time, you'd have to be so lucky and not have any injuries. Or maybe if you have 8-man reserve bench, that's different. Then you can have a little bit more luxury. But most leagues only have 5. And I know me with my fantasy leagues, I suffer injuries and I need those spots. I got to keep rotating those spots. But Forrest Whitley is a guy I would take last round if you could. Just in a keeper league. Keeper league, you might have to take him earlier. And just try and hold on to him if you can.
15 Ks in 12 innings pitched this spring. Only pitched 26 innings for the Double-A team last season. So that is a concern. But, yes, definitely a big-time prospect to hold on to or pick up in Dynasty Leagues. Osuna, the closer there?
Yeah, here's your close. He'll be mm-hmm. Listen, we can think all we want to think about him with his domestic violence issues. But as far as mm-hmm. fantasy is concerned, he's an ace closer.
Yeah. 96.5 over?
Yes. Yeah, I think they're going over. I think it's pretty easily over.
All right. When we come back, continue breaking down the AL West, Oakland Athletics. Next, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.